Welcome back to a super fantasy football show. I'm John, your host. We are just under halfway through the season, a week away from the trade deadline, and oh my God, do we have so much to talk about. Yesterday, or today as we're recording, but yesterday for you listeners, was the most insane day of trades in the Super Friends League history, I think. I just spent all after work writing down all the fucking trade fallout that I barely got to prep for any of the usual segments, so We're gonna be flying by the seat of our pants here, but we're gonna dive right into it. I've got the owner of the Real Americans with us this week, Randy. How are you doing, buddy?
Johnny, I'm good. I'm glad to be back on the pod.
Glad to have you. Excited to get some picks from you because we've not been having much luck with the guest picks, but we'll see.
Hey, I'm hoping I could try to change the culture. The standard is the standard.
Oh my God, you're so pretentious.
I want to set the tone early.
Oh my God. All right. Well, let's dive right into it. We have a ton of trade talk to talk about, but per our usual outline, we'll start with last week's games. We can go ahead and start with our matchup, Randy. Do you wanna lead us off?
I'm just glad I won. I don't know. Early on, we had a barn burner going on. It was very close early.
Yeah, it was close, and even towards the end, before Ezekiel Elliott had a little bit better of a game, I thought I still might be able to pull it out, but it wasn't in the cards.
And I was looking. It's not like you didn't really leave any points on the bench.
No, I had a pretty thin team this week with Amon-Ra, St. Brown, and DeAndre Swift both had byes. Brandon Cooks and, well, I wasn't going to start Derek Carr anyway, but didn't have it in me this week, but still had a pretty solid performance, 104 to 120. Not too bad for the fonts, but, you know, what can you do? Maybe next week.
It was a good week. Hey, you got that game right.
I got that game right. My reverse jinx didn't work, and I'm furious.
Hey, you can't win them all, John. You can't pick them all.
Well, you know, I can't win them all, but it'd be sure nice to play a team that doesn't have their best fucking week when I play them. I was looking at it. If we had swapped schedules and I played the teams that you played and you played the teams that I played, if that had happened, I would have been, ironically, 3-1-1 coming into this week. Do you want to go ahead and guess what you would have been if you'd played the teams that I played?
I don't know. Let's say I'm 4-1-1 now. Yeah, right, 4-1-1.
But before this week.
Oh, before this week.
So you were 3-1-1 coming into this week.
I probably would have been 1-4.
1-4 you would have been. So,
damn,
you know, count your lucky stars, but that's all right. That's the way she goes sometimes. That's the nature of the game. What can you do?
I can't help it. The East is the strong division.
It's insane, man. Getting my ass kicked, but I still haven't lost hope yet. There are a few other teams in the bottom of the barrel with me. Some of them have given up hope, as we'll get into later, but
you're still in it, though.
You're still in it, but man, it's tough when you get these matchups. But that's all right. We won't harp on that too much more. All right. So next up, we had the Running Fools taking down the Technical Fouls. Do I have that right? Yes. And again, all my notes are out of date. I said the Fools have some. The Fools have some life. Well, they did until they traded everyone away. Not a very inspiring win, but was enough to make the Technical Fouls start thinking about next year, which I guess
meanwhile, last week, the Technical Fouls were entertaining trade offers, and for certain players, he said he was not in tank mode yet.
Not in tank mode, but I don't know. Maybe I didn't get a chance to look at his past few games. Maybe they haven't been looking good. I think he's still in the bottom of scoring this year. I'll look that up. Yeah, the Technical Fouls are once again in the basement and pretty deep in there, with 572.5 points for. Next closest is the One-Faced Wonders with 600.5.
Wouldn't it be a Cinderella story if Chez can sneak back into the playoffs?
That would be amazing. Didn't that happen once where...
Last year, I think he just barely made it in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was that. But then wasn't there one time in high school where someone traded away all their fancy baseball players?
And, that was me.
And he still made the playoff?
I traded all my fantasy baseball players to Nathan to tank. And then it ended up being me and Nathan in the championship. And Nathan beat me.
Wow. Well, that would be... That'd be pretty incredible. At least Chez got to tank early this year, and didn't have to have a shitty team in the playoffs. But
and now it looks like Brian's in tank mode.
Brian is, I would definitely say, in tank mode. That was a little bit surprising to me. Although I was texting him a little bit earlier. I think yesterday or something, and asking him if what he was thinking about tanking, and he said he was going to try to give it one more week. But then I guess after looking through his matchups, I think he said he had a bunch of players on bye and that it was not looking pretty. So he,
The bye weeks are hard.
The bye weeks are tough. Yeah. Yeah. Your team is riddled this coming week. But yeah, we'll get into that a little bit more. But yeah, so I guess the Running Fools ended up winning that one. But not sure. I think those two are going to be racing towards the bottom. He might be kicking himself for letting his team beat the technical fouls when the first overall pick comes next year. But we'll see. And then next up, we had the One-Faced Wonders falling to For Power and Vitality.
What a game.
63.5 to 104.5. Not pretty.
Good for Eric, man.
Good for Eric. I mean, Dave's obviously made a bunch of moves, but... 63.5. I know. I think he's in second place in the league, but that's pretty scary. And second lowest in scoring. Again, a shit ton of trades happened today, so that is going to look different moving forward. But that's all right. He's kept in second place with maybe a not great team. So maybe it'll work out for him.
I'm looking. Eric had Breece Hall at 18 points. Mm-hmm. Leonard Fournette at 18 points. Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray with a measly 14.
I had a funny joke that I meant to open with. Ooh. For Power and Vitality, more like four quarterbacks on his goddamn team. You like that one?
And this morning, he wasn't willing to part with one.
He's unbelievable. He told
me I was trying to make like a bye week kind of trade. Like I need a quarterback going into the bye week because Josh Allen's not playing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be heading to Miami this weekend. I figured what better quarterback to get than Tua against the Steelers. That way, if we lose, I still get to enjoy the game.
Yeah. And he wouldn't do it.
I offered him like a 2023 third round pick or something.
Wow.
Wouldn't do it.
That's interesting.
He said he had more offers coming in for Tua.
More offers coming in for Tua? How is that possible?
He said he had two other offers, and he said mine wasn't good enough.
Oh, my God.
And then...
Oh, my God. Okay.
At 7 p.m. tonight, he hasn't even made a trade.
No, he hasn't. I was in touch with him, though, because I've... The past couple of weeks, I've texted him. Not really about a trade. Just asking if he's planning on tanking. And once again, I asked solely so I can have a better chance of picking his game right. And he says he's not tanking. He's calling it tanking light. He gave up Dalvin Cook, but still hoping he can get some momentum.
I like
here.
That. And I like that. Tanking light.
He has gotten momentum. Over the past 3 weeks, he hasn't won all the games, but he scored over 100 points in each week and averaging 116 points for the past 3 weeks, which is up from 93 over the first 3 weeks. So,
oh, wow.
You know, he's not.
I did not know that. That is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not looking too bad, but he's going to have to make a decision on tanking pretty soon. So he's better, you know, give in or give out. But that's not the saying, but whatever. All right. And then next up, God, this is going to be the longest podcast. the Cincinnati Soup Cans fell to Denny Irvine's Gatorade, continuing the guest pick losing streak. Every guest who comes on ends up losing. So I hope that works for you too.
I had such high hopes for that game.
Yeah, and then another disappointing one, not even close.
Damn.
69 and
look,
a half.
Look, Tom's my arch rival. I'm happy he got the win, but I would have loved to have seen Tom lose to Matt.
That would have been awesome. And you think a goose egg out of Jeff Wilson Jr., who I think got hurt. But Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow finally got their connection. And then this person named Ramondre Stevenson continues to be good. But I refuse to believe that's going to last.
See, Damian Harris was the starting back, and mm-hmm. now he's hurt. And I don't even know. How do you pronounce that? I'm going to butcher it.
Ramondre Stevenson, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that guy. That's not going to last.
I don't see how it could, because the Patriots running backs are never consistently good, but 17, 10, 18, and 22 the past 4 weeks. So
it seems like the last decade, New England's running backs have just been a running back by committee. They don't have like one star back.
Right. And maybe they rope-a-doped us, and this year is finally the year they're going to have one running back, but
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
What a missed opportunity by Matt also, by the way. You welcome in a newborn baby boy into this world. He should have kicked Tom's ass this week.
He should have.
What a better gift. What better gift than an ass kicking against Tom.
I can't wait till his son's old enough for his Uncle John to tell him about the week where his dad completely shit the bed against Uncle Tom.
Uncle Tuna, Uncle Tuna.
Uncle Tuna, that's right. Oh, my God. All right, well, those are last week's games. Let's go into the league pulse. We'll check out the standings here. So in first place, we have Denny Irvine's Gatorade. Second place, One Face Wonders. Third place, The Real Americans. Fourth place, Soup Cans. Fifth place, The Olifants. Sixth place for Power and Vitality. Seventh, Running Fools. Eighth, Technical Fouls. So that's where things stand currently. Once again, the trade deadline is not tomorrow, like some people are acting. It's actually next Wednesday at noon. I'm 99% sure it's at noon, not at midnight. So keep that in mind. I don't know how many of these questions are still going to be relevant. But first of all, which of the four 2-4 teams has the best chance of making the playoffs? I guess that one's still relevant.
Yeah, it's relevant.
What do you think? So we have for Power and Vitality, Technical Fouls, Running Fools, and Iron City Olifants.
Ooh.
I mean, I think we can count out Technical Fouls.
I think I got to give it to you.
Okay.
I think I got to give it to you.
I made a pretty big move today, so
Your team is more built for longevity than I think Chez's and Eric's.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Eric seems to be kind of he's getting that train back on the tracks.
Mm-hmm. He's gaining momentum for sure.
But I don't think he's done enough to get over that hump.
Mm-hmm. Still a scary team to play. I would not want to play for Power and Vitality right now. But I would probably agree. I think my squad has been more consistent throughout the year, as evidenced by the still number one in the points four standings.
I know we're going to get to the trade talks in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, based off the trade that Matt made today, you could potentially jump Matt.
Yeah, yeah, I was thinking that as well.
I think you got better with your trade. I think Matt's team slightly got worse. I could be shooting myself in the foot here, but
He was planning for the future a little bit more than planning for this year with that trade.
That's what I thought when I saw it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's get into it, because I don't really have any more of these questions, and we have so much trade talk to get
They're
to.
They're all relevant now.
Yeah. So the trade bonanza, this is League Pulse continuation. So we'll start with the Saquon loaner deal, which feels like millennia ago. And this was the deal that sent Saquon as a loaner from Chez's Technical Fouls to Tom's Denny Irvine's Gatorades.
Yep.
And Tom will send his 2023 second round and third round picks to Chez with the condition that if Saquon scores more than 165 points through week 18, then the Technical Fouls will receive Tom's first and third round picks instead of second and third.
Not through our season, through week 18.
Correct, yeah. So even beyond our championship game. So that's, I've checked, that's 11 games left for Saquon. He has a bye somewhere in there. And he needs a 15-point-per-game pace throughout the rest of the year, and he's currently averaging 18.3 points per game.
Oh, God.
So that one could be a little close, whether it's a first or second round pick. But
he has a couple big games. That's – yeah, hey, good for Tom getting that clause in there.
Yeah, that was nice. Maybe
– I guess – yeah, good for Tom.
Good for Tom. Although it's going to be tough to – well, someone's going to have to figure it out, I guess, keep track of.
Even though Chez betrayed my trust.
He betrayed your trust.
When I initially traded him Saquon for Josh Allen, I told him I would do it under the condition he would never trade Saquon to a non-stater.
Oh, my God. Well, that makes me happy that
it was a gentleman's agreement, and he betrayed me.
Well, that's what was his nickname in high school? The root of all evil?
The root of all evil.
That adds up.
You think you know a man after 20, 25, 26, 27 years, and well, he just goes and betrays you.
And to shit on his character even more, David was texting me. He said he made Chez an offer and said to let him know his thoughts, never heard back or got a counter, and then got a text that he made a deal with Tom for Saquon. So let's see. David offered the 2023 first round pick and 2024 second round pick, and Saquon, he wanted Saquon permanently, not just a loaner.
That's a different story.
It's a slightly worse deal, I think, for Chez because he doesn't get Saquon back, and one of the picks is 2024. But to not even offer a counter, not even say you're not interested. Man,
how rude,
cold-blooded too for Tom to just swoop in like that.
Hey, good for Tom. Hey, look, the standard is the standard, John. Tom's learning. You want to win a championship, you got to get over that hump.
Oh my God.
Tom has been, but if you look in the league history, Tom has like, I think it's three or four top three finishes, and he just can't win the big one.
Well, you know, I'm right there with him, so I can't talk.
I don't want to keep bashing Tom because I know he's in Ireland. He's not going to listen to this for like another week, 10 days. And
they don't have internet over there.
Tom's not going to pay for international roaming.
If he has Wi-Fi, he can get the.
Go on. You think the O'Haley family? The O'Haley is going to be the they're in Ireland. The O'Haley family, not an ounce of Irish in them. You think they're sitting at the Guinness factory having a pint and Tom's just listening to our podcast with his earbuds on?
Well, that's a fair point. Probably not.
Probably in an Irish brothel, hoping his credit card doesn't get declined.
Oh, my God. All right. And with that, we'll move on to the Christian McCaffrey trade. This was another loaner deal, and Christian McCaffrey goes from the Running Fools to the Iron City Oliphants, and Brian's Running Fools get my 2023 first round pick.
Ooh.
So not quite as much as Saquon went for. I feel like I got a pretty good deal out of that, actually, at least based off of some of the other trades today. Although I will say they're all kind of like getting jumbled up in my head, so I'm not quite sure who got the best deal today, but that's the one we landed on. I will say we had talked about let me pull up our texts here.
Oh, is this the three player deal?
Yeah, he offered me a massive deal until we got clarity on the loaner rules. So what did he say? So I think I initially started texting him. Oh yes, we were texting yesterday about Christian McCaffrey a little bit, and I told him I would do a first rounder for him, and that's kind of what he was thinking too. And then he said he thought of an offer. How about McCaffrey, Jefferson, and Hurts as loaners for your first this year and next, with one condition that if you win the championship, he also gets DeAndre Swift as a keeper.
Ooh.
So I wasn't sure that I would go for that. I mean, with DeAndre Swift being given to him permanently, so it never got too far in the discussions before we got clarity on the loaner rule. But that was the deal that we were discussing, and I might have done it. I'm not sure.
Here's where I'm confused. Mm-hmm. I understood the loaner deal, the new rule, as you could only make one loaner deal, not necessarily one loaner player.
Well,
that was my initial interpretation of it.
Well, that's apparently not correct.
Okay.
I'd have to go back to the Discord to check that out. I thought Brian asked him in there. Confirmation. I don't know. I don't remember where it was, but Brian did somewhere ask him if it was one player or one deal, and David said that it was one player. So, unfortunately on that one. But
I don't even know where this took place. I can't even find it.
I can't either. It was so long ago today, and I was also texting Brian a lot, so it could be buried in here somewhere. But then then David got fucked over once again. I wouldn't say he got fucked over, but
oh, here I have it.
Oh, what is it?
Wait, that's future pick trading. Loan registration rules. League manager proposal. I think we can have a general limit to the number of loan players a team can bring over in the course of a year. Most teams do two max. So this wouldn't be a huge change, but it would be nice to have some guideline. I think we could do a cap of two or three players that can be brought on in a loan. He goes on to talk about trade value. I don't think we need a limit on the number a team can send on loan, because if there's a limit for buying teams, that'll trickle down to the players that can be loaned. And in red underneath, he says one.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's where I'm getting. Yeah. So I guess after we talked about it, we voted on one player can be loaned.
Right. Yeah. So that's where we landed on that one. So after Brian asked David that, wherever that was, David knew that he was inevitably selling Christian McCaffrey and also was interested, but Brian was a gentleman and gave me first dibs. So that's how that deal went down.
Are you a little concerned? Any concern on your part? Just because there's been a lot of talk of him being traded.
A little bit, but, you know, I mean, he's Christian McCaffrey.
I love the idea of him going to Buffalo.
That would be incredible.
Like, he'd be amazing in that offense. I saw somewhere else they were talking about, was it San Francisco?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think. I saw a couple, but yeah, no concern on your part that he might be shipped out?
No real concern, because if you can perform with the Panthers this year, then I think you can perform with just about anyone.
Yeah, good point. But valid.
As long as he stays healthy, obviously, is the stipulation for him.
Yeah.
But, all right, let's move on from Christian McCaffrey. Next, we had Nick Chubb, permanent deal, sending Nick Chubb from David's Wonders to Diddy's Soup Cans. I have that reversed. From Diddy's Soup Cans to David's One-Faced Wonders. That's right. And the Soup Cans will receive either David's 2023 first and second round picks, or David's 2023 first round pick, and select one of David's keepers after those are set, which I think is a very important clause, because to me that reads after the keepers are set, meaning there's no one else on the rosters, you have three people on your roster, and after they're set, Didiano has the opportunity to pick one of David's keepers, leaving David with two keepers and Diddy with four keepers? Is that how you interpreted that?
That's what I thought.
Interesting. Okay. Well, we might have to get some clarity on that. We might have to take that one to court, honestly, because that language is a little vague.
Trying to see. How do we do a multi-person? We should get the commissioner on. I want clarification right this minute.
Maybe that could be the next episode. We can finally have some drama, and we can play it out in court or something.
I guess I see what Matt's doing, like, long term.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at his roster, he does not. He is Rashad Penny, who's on IR.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to see. He's Damian Pierce out of Houston. But he really doesn't have another running back already on the roster to replace him. Devin Singletary's on a bye for Buffalo. He has Antonio Gibson for Washington, but I don't even know. Is Antonio Gibson the number one running back in Washington? He's the number 24th ranked running back in fantasy right now. So,
Yeah, that's a good question. I was just kind of assuming he would grab someone from the waivers, but let me see.
No, David
did Matthew Stafford in that deal. I would have at least tried to get a lesser running back if I were Diddy for that one, but you know.
Here, I just sorted it. So there's, I guess depending on how the waiver wire goes, Jamal Williams is still available, A.J. Dillon, Michael Carter. I don't know. There's no notable names. Yeah, it just seemed weird. Like, I understand what he's doing for the future, but he didn't do anything to kind of keep the ball rolling.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he was thinking he wasn't confident in his team this year or something, despite the record, but.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let me look quickly to see where he is in the point standings. That's kind of, I don't know why I always default to that as my determination of how good a team is, but he's in fourth place, 663. That looks like it's fourth. Yeah, fourth place in points, so pretty solid. I mean, All you need is a ticket to the dance, and who knows what will happen. But I don't know. Maybe he just wasn't confident in that one. Maybe he can text us tomorrow and let us know what he was thinking.
I love looking at your points for and against, not to change the subject. But I love looking at it. It's insane. You get everyone's best week.
It's really incredible. And I'm thrilled to be number one points for. That's a dream come true. Never did I ever think.
Is that not part of the prize this year?
It is. So I still have a chance to get some cash back, but I don't know. With all these
best case scenario, John, you get into the playoffs. Worst case, you miss the playoffs and you still are a winner.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that could have been, I think, Brian or Tom last year. One of them had the most points but missed the playoffs.
But I'm trying to think who got in. It was me, Chez, you, and who was the other team?
I want to say Eric. I think I beat Eric. You beat Chez. You beat me in the championship.
Yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, all right. lost my place here. Okay, so then my next point before 5 o'clock, I said, we know Randy is still going to try to wheel some deals. And boy, did he. Randy got Pittman Jr., A.J. Brown, and Justin Tucker for Brian's 2023 third and 2024 second round picks. Was there another one? Don't tell me if there's another one because we're going in order of how I wrote them down.
Yeah, there was one after mine.
Okay, so then next we had the Stephon Diggs trade, I believe, was next.
Yeah, that was it. That was it.
Chez sends Stephon Diggs to the Wonders for David's 2023 fourth round picks.
But you know what? David can be a little sour about not getting Saquon, but he got Stephon Diggs. It's still David still made out.
He got a pretty good deal for him, too, I think. Fourth round pick, unless David either makes the final, wins the number one seed, or leads the league in scoring, in which case that'll turn into David's third round pick. So
David's got a long way to go. He's at 600.5,
but, you know, made some pretty big moves today. So I'd say he bolstered his team a pretty good bit.
He did. He did.
And then next, before all this shit went down, I said, is there possibly more movement from Chez? And the answer was yes. It was a Stephon Diggs loaner. And then I said, any more movement from Brian? And there wasn't any more movement from Brian yet. I know he wants to keep Justin Jefferson as one of his keepers, but mm-hmm. possibly could loan him out. Maybe if Eric or someone, I think Eric is probably the last person who might make a loaner deal. Maybe Diddy, if he can get another couple wins under his belt. I guess not a couple wins, but he could still decide to change his mind on that one. So the teams with loaners on their teams that cannot accept anymore currently, there are four. The Real Americans have Dalvin Cook. Denny Irvine's Gatorade have Saquon Barkley. The Olifants have Christian McCaffrey. And David has Stephon Diggs. And before all that, I wrote, one interesting thing is that David does not have a loaner. He could, in theory, try to get one from the sellers. His challenge would be, what does he offer? He doesn't have a first-round pick to offer next year. And he might only have two keepers, so I'm not sure he would trade for the loner. But he made it work and got Stephon Diggs, so good on him. And yeah. That'll be interesting to see.
I'm excited to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, me too. And I think that finally wraps up all of the trades this week in the past 2 days.
Hey, and who knows? This podcast could come out tomorrow, and there could be more.
Well, I'm keeping my phone nearby, and every time I get a fantasy alert, I'm checking to see what it is. But nothing. Oh my Jesus Christ. Okay. What does this one say?
Is this a super secret Discord without me?
No, it was a notification. Let me go to the league real quick and check on recent activity.
Uh-oh.
Okay, no, this was just your trade with Brian giving you Michael Pittman, Justin Tucker, and AJ Brown. Okay, never mind. We're good.
By the way, I'm on my way home. I'm getting off the parkway, and all of a sudden, Brian starts blowing up my phone. Hey, I have a trade offer for you. I sat in the parking lot of Doggy Daycare for 15 minutes to see if I wanted to pull off a deal, and everything I countered with, Brian declined. And then we finally struck a deal.
Was there a lot of back and forth? Or did you finally just cave?
It was just like every play. Originally, the deal was for two players and some picks. But I really wanted a third player. Only because A.J. Brown, like, I'm happy with A.J. Brown, but he does me no good this week.
Right, yeah.
So I wanted something else. And I was already planning on, I don't even remember which kicker, but I was going to cut my current kicker and try to get another kicker on the waiver wire. So luckily I didn't have to do that. I'm very happy with Justin Tucker. But it's just like, Brian almost killed me. I think I crossed the center of the road about three times trying to text him because I was on my way back home.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. Well, whatever. That's good for you. You look happy and healthy. all right. That's enough trade talk. I'm going to blow my fucking brains out. All right. Next segment. This is a new one. This is the stat segment that I'm calling Morty's Mind Blowers. Are you familiar with Rick and Morty?
I am, yes.
You know the Morty's Mind Blowers episode? Where he...
Vaguely.
He has like the memories that he takes out of Morty's brain because they blow his
mind. Oh, yeah.
I call them Morty's Mind Blowers.
So that's what we're calling
this. Bear
with
me, John. I only watch Rick and Morty when I'm taking my vitamins.
Oh, hell yeah. That's the best way to do it. But yes. Okay, so this one's called Morty Mind Blowers. And this one's courtesy of David, who suggested I do a stat of the day like Dan Patrick does. And I didn't want to copy it 100% at least yet. / I didn't have enough time. So so we're going this way. So I have... two stats for you, two little fun little stats for you, and you're going to tell me if they blow your mind or not.
I'm ready.
All right. And first, I'll give you a list of the other names that I considered for this segment. So first, I thought, let's get it statted.
Ooh.
Party statter. Stat madness. I didn't love that one. Put on your stat hat. Stat me in the face. Or stat me across the face. One of those two. So let me know if any of these stats stat you across the face.
What was it? Party statter? I like that.
You like party statter?
By the way, great underrated song by Will Smith.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Party Star, that is a jam.
He had some jams.
By the way, in my bar mitzvah, fun fact, that's the song I entered the room to.
Oh, my God.
Fun fact, Party Starter by Will Smith.
Amazing. That is so on brand for you. I love it.
I think it's on my Spotify like songs thing. It comes on every once in a while. Still a jam.
Fantastic. Well, let me know if any of these Morty Mind Blowers blow your mind. So
that's a good name too.
Thank you. Thank you. I think I can put the little sound clip in there too. I'm going to do it and see what happens. But it's just for educational purposes so that people understand the reference. But okay, so the first one, I made a joke earlier about Eric having four quarterbacks on his team. And all right, let's do it this way. 2022, this year, we're 6 weeks in. Guess how many teams this year have had four quarterbacks on their roster at any point?
I'm going to say three.
The answer is two.
Oh, okay.
And they're both for Power and Vitality in week 5, which was a win. His first win of the season, he had four quarterbacks on his roster, two in his IR. And his second was week 6 this past week. And he also won that game, his second win in a row, I believe, off the top of my head. And those quarterbacks were, for both, Kyler Murray, Kenny Pickett, Trey Lance, and Tua, I'm not confident how to say his last name ever.
Yeah, not even worth it. I just call him Tua.
All right. So 2021, go ahead and guess how many teams at different weeks had four quarterbacks on their roster.
I'm going to go with one.
Zero. One time did that happen in 2021.
Wow.
So twice in 2022, both fucking Eric, both wins, none in 2021. Go ahead and guess for 2020.
Let's go with zero this time.
It was zero again. This was such a bitch to look up. Let's go to 2019.
Let's say one.
Zero again, and that is the last year that data is available. So as far as we know, no team in Super Friends Fantasy League history has ever had four quarterbacks on their roster other than for Power and Vitality weeks 5 and 6.
What's the logic behind four quarterbacks?
I haven't a clue. We talked about it at Bad Mex. I still don't understand. He just didn't want to drop one. As if any of those would be someone's keepers.
But, you could drop Kenny.
Yeah, you sure could.
You keep Tua and Kyler. You kind of need two quarterbacks for eventually when there's a bye week. Or neither one of them are I don't want to say they're not elite, but they're both the same quarterback to me. You could start one week to week and it wouldn't matter.
Yeah, definitely.
And but what's the benefit of keeping Trey Lance?
I don't understand that one bit. I mean, the only thing I can think of is if he's thinking that Trey Lance is going to be one of his keepers. That's the only reason to keep him. Because he's not playing this year.
Why would he keep him?
Having a clue. You'd have to talk with him. Although he also said he dropped two of them today, so.
Do we have proof of that? Because he's been talking all day, and I haven't seen him make one move.
I'm going to look, actually, because maybe he's got some waiver wire activity going on. Let's see here. Trades. Okay, yeah. He dropped Kenny Pickett and Trey Lance. So
it's about time.
Now that Tua is officially back. So I get having three, but four is just unreasonable. And especially Trey Lance. That one just didn't make sense to me. But
what's worse to you? Keeping four quarterbacks on your roster or keeping four tight ends?
Oh my God. They both seem like such dumb decisions unless you have Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce as your tight ends. But
which, by the way, I stole from Matthew.
Oh my God. Yeah. I didn't put that one in the notes this week. In the trade notes this week. There's so much other stuff to talk about. But oh yeah, I did. Okay, let's go back to that real quick.
I took your advice on the on the last podcast. You had said you've been listening to podcasts. You said Clyde Edwards, his stats were not going to be sustainable.
Damn it.
I thought about it. I did some research. I texted Chez. I said, look, I need Mark Andrews. I said, I'm willing to pay a devil's ransom. Thinking Chez is going to come back. I want this pick. I want this pick. I want this pick. No, and he's the number two tight end in fantasy.
Yeah.
And what does Matthew come back with? I don't. Maybe Katie had his phone. I don't know. But he comes back with, I'll take Clyde Edwards for Mark Andrews straight up.
Oh, my God. And this week he's tanking.
And not even 3 seconds later, I was just like, deal. You got a deal.
Man.
Like, before I went and messed it up for myself, I was just like, deal. You have a deal.
Yeah. Well, he's got to be kicking himself today because he could have gotten picks out of you. Yep. And it looks like he's going to need picks.
And had he taken those picks, I wouldn't have been able to do the deal with Brian today.
Well, think about that, Chez, next time you're waving around one of your finance certificates. I'm always thinking he's better than us. I'm just kidding, buddy. I love you. All right. did those teams with four quarterback stats blow your mind?
It did. It did and it didn't. No one's going to keep four quarterbacks.
That's true. That's true.
I could see, like, if you have Josh Allen, he goes out for the year, you put him on IR, you sign two more. But, I mean, that's three quarterbacks. I'd like to see how many teams had three quarterbacks. I bet you it's a lot more.
Yeah.
I don't know. It blew my mind.
Oh, though. Yeah. There were a lot of three quarterbacks because I
think
did
I'm
go
more
back
surprised
through.
That it was only Eric.
Only Eric?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought, like, surely, and we can only go back to 2019. We couldn't go all the way back. I don't know why it didn't keep, like, specific game stats. It just saved the scores, but you can't see, like, who was on the team each week.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't check that out, unfortunately.
I'll have to call Ramsey later and see if he ever kept four quarterbacks.
I'm positive he wouldn't remember. And I'm guessing no, because he would auto-draft and it would give you two quarterbacks and he wouldn't ever log on again.
Good point.
All right. The next Morty mind blower. There are only two this week. I couldn't find more. But I got a bunch of stats for the history of 150-plus point games in our league. So we'll start all the way back in 2014. There were no 150-point scorers ever, regular season or playoffs.
Interesting.
Individual playoff games, not combined.
Yeah.
2015, there was one. I will give you five quick guesses, or two if you're taking your time, of who it was.
2015. Am I right?
Brian's not in the league yet.
20. I'm trying to think who was in the league in 2015. Is this a Kevin Blau and Austin Ramsey? Are they the two teams?
Yes, those were the two teams in the league.
No, I mean, are they the two teams that did it?
Oh, there was just one team, and it was Kevin Blau, parts unknown, wow. Green Bastards, week 9. 2016, there was one. It was Eric's team back when he was Hilda's Papi Chulo, week 5. So only two in the history since at that point in time. 2017, I think this is Brian's first year because the Bees Blumpkins scored over 150 in week 4. David's Jungle Boogie scored over 150 in week 11. And I have the top two or top three scores too, so don't worry. In 2018, we had a point explosion because the NPL MILFs in week 9, the Ollie Fonts in week 11, and then Denny Irvine's Gatorade twice week 11 and week 9. And week 9 was the second most ever points scored with 182.5. So, and did not win. Brian won the league that year. So Tom, despite those two big wins, couldn't get over the finish line.
I believe what you mean to say is he couldn't close.
He couldn't close. Classic Tom. All right. And then in 2019 was the year we had the most 150-point games.
Wow.
With 5. The Soup Cans in week 3 put up 168. The Blumpkins in week 4 for Power and Vitality at some point. I didn't write down the week. And then Denny Irvine in week 5. And then Power and Vitality again week 8 with, I believe, the most points ever scored in a single game in our league, 187.5.
Wow. I would love to know Massive. Who was on that roster.
I should have looked that up.
That's insane.
Yeah. And then 2020, Denny Irvine's Gatorade again in week 2. And then for Power and Vitality, week 7. So a scoring dip. And then again in 2021, only one team, Denny Irvine's Gatorade, week 7, 161.5. And then this year we've had 3 already. My Fonts twice in weeks 2 and 4, 166 and 155. And then the Soup Cans in week 2 with 153. So that is the history of 150-plus point games in the Super Friends Fantasy League.
That's a hard number. That's a hard number to hit.
Does that stat you across the face?
That does.
There you go. Awesome.
Knowing that I've never done it.
You've never done it. There were a lot that were close. There were a lot of like 140s, but not a lot, but there were more. But
that's my goal. That's my goal for this season now.
I'm gonna do everything I can to play defense. I don't know how I'm gonna do it, but I wanna
pop my 150 point cherry.
As long as you throw a party when you do it.
Hey. Well, have you ever heard about those period parties?
And next, we're going to talk about next week's games. But before we do, we'll go over some of the picking stats. We'll keep our stat madness going. The curse of the pod continues. Like I said, podcast guests are 0-5 the week of their episode. But Diddy and I both went 2-for-2 last week. So let's see my pick record on the year. 10-13-1. So not too bad. It's...
You're getting there.
Hanging around 500, which I'm happy with. I was a little worried at first that I was going to suck all year, but not too bad. I'd like to finish at least 500, but we'll
How'd
see.
You do last week?
I went 2-for-2 last week. 2-and-2 so last
you,
week.
You got our game right.
Got
what
your
was the
game
other
right?
game?
Let me go back to the last one. Real Americans and the Running Fools.
Ooh. How did Matt do?
He also went 2-and-2.
What games did he get right?
The exact same. We had the exact same picks.
Oh,
week.
Nice. Okay. Yeah.
So yeah. And no one has finished better. None of the guests have finished better than 2-and-2. So maybe you can finally get over the hump.
Hopefully that changes. But I'm looking at my notes. I might have to switch a couple picks here.
Yeah, I'm going to be flying by the seat of my pants on this one because all my notes are from right before the trade.
That's what mine were.
Craziness. So we'll start with the technical fouls.
Technical foul.
Versus my Iron City Oliphants. The fouls are saying goodbye to Saquon. So this one's a must win for me. If I don't win this one, I'm not sure what I'm going to do the rest of the season. Not overly worried about it because, like I said, it looks like the fouls are starting to tank a little bit. And my squad's been putting up pretty consistent numbers, but haven't gotten the matchup. So hopefully this is the week. Hopefully the technical fouls don't blow up. And I have DeAndre Swift coming back healthy. So thank God for that. So I'm taking the Fonts. Randy, what about you?
I'm taking you. The Oliphants, I think, they're the... I'm looking at Chez's roster. He's starting Geno Smith as of the recording of this podcast. I'm not sure what Matthew's doing. I'm taking you all the way in this week.
Hell yeah. There we go. All right. Next up, we have for Power and Vitality versus the Running Fools. Two basement teams, but in drastically different positions. Brian is pretty clearly listed himself as the seller. I'd originally picked for Power and Vitality. Oh, no, that's correct. Yeah, I'm sticking with for Power and Vitality because I'm running fools. I'm not sure who's on the roster anymore.
See, I'm looking at it. My original pick was the Running Fools.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he could still do it. He's still got Najee, Dak Prescott, Joe Mixon.
Yeah, I mean,
Mike Williams. I couldn't figure out who to trade for Christian McCaffrey, and I feel like Mike Williams was somehow my worst player. So he has Mike Williams in there. Darren Waller.
I still got to. I'm torn on this one. I'm going to stick with my original pick. I'm going to go with the Running Fools. I'm sorry, Eric.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the Running Fools.
Running Fools. Yeah, their team does. I mean, if Joe Mixon and Najee can somehow pick it up, he might still stay.
Brian continues to make moves, and his team still looks solid.
Yeah, I was really annoyed that I had to trade him Mike Williams because like there was just no one else on my roster that I wanted to trade, but that's okay. He can have him. I have enough receivers. And then next up we have the first place Denny Irvine's Gatorade, versus the second place One Face Wonders, and this one's going to be a battle of the juggernauts. Both teams have made some pretty serious moves in the past 2 days, and we're not talking about those again, but I'm not sure who to take. Who are you thinking, Randy?
I think just based off logistics, I think Tom's distracted.
Oh, yeah, good point.
The O'Haley clan is gallivanting through Ireland. You know, who knows? When he's out doing his walking tours on whatever mountains or cliffs those are, what are they called? The cliffs of, I don't know. He always shows me pictures. Oh, Lord of the Rings was filmed here. Game of Thrones was filmed here. He's not going to be able to get on the internet and check his roster.
And he's missing the kicker right now.
I'm taking the One Face Wonders.
You're taking the Wonders?
I'm taking the Wonders this week.
All right. I think the Wonders have pretty good matchups. Justin Herbert going against Seattle, who's dog shit. Josh Jacobs going up against Houston. His two Browns, Nick Chubb and Amari Cooper, going up against Baltimore. Man, those are some interesting matchups. But then you got Joe Burrow going up against Atlanta. That could be some pretty big points if Ja'Marr Chase is still playing like he played last week.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Henry, Saquon. Man, Travis Kelce.
Devontae Adams, Kelce. Oh,
man.
Your boy Stevenson from New England.
Fuck him. But I think I'm going to go with Denny Irvine's Gatorade in that one.
Ooh.
I don't feel great about it. I hope it's a good game at least.
It should be a barn burner.
Let's hope so. So I'm going Denny's. You're going the Wonders. We'll see who takes that one. And now the game of the week, the Real Americans versus the Soup Cans. I think this is, I mean, again, my notes are from before all this crazy shit. I thought it could be a trap game because you're missing basically your entire offense. Is your entire bench filled with players on bye?
All but one. The only player on my bench that will be playing this week is, if my phone would load, is George Pickens is on my bench.
Well, I think David made a pretty big mistake by trading for Nick Chubb. Is that who the fuck ended up with Nick Chubb?
David ended up with Nick Chubb.
I think David should have waited 1 week, let Nick Chubb stay in Didiana's lineup, hopefully squeak out the win against your Real Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's in a much stronger position if he can get him and stay in first place. But, oh, man, I'm just not sure about Diddy's team anymore. If he can fill the two byes that he has on his roster currently.
He's three.
Two byes and one empty slot.
You're correct.
You can fill those up. Oh, man. You know what? Screw it. Yeah, I'm taking the Soup Cans. I'm taking them in an upset over the Real Americans.
Ooh, okay. Hey, fine. That's fine.
Tell us what you think, Randy.
So, my prediction, we got an old school dogfight. that, you know, Michael Vick could be proud of. You can't stop a team of destiny. I've said it week in and week out. The reign of Rando is upon us. You know, one day Matt's going to tell the story to his children of how he was defeated by the real American, and Uncle Rando proved that he's the only soup can in this league. I'm taking me all the way.
Randy taking the real Americans. What a surprise. David, trade back Nick Chubb just for the week. You can make the deal again next week. Oh, my God. All right. Well, this show is already way too long, so we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Thanks for calling in, Randy. It was good chatting with you.
Thanks, Johnny. It was great talking to you.
See you, buddy.
See ya.
And that, mercifully, is our show for the week. Best of luck to everyone this week except for Chez. This has been an insane edition of the Super Fantasy Football Show. I'll be back next week, and until then, I'll see Jens at Froggies. Have you or a loved one been a victim of a freezing cold take by one of your close friends on a Super Fantasy Football show? Was your top fantasy star slandered in one of the episodes? Or maybe they attacked your team's chances on a given week? Perhaps they gave you a false hope about a player who turned out to be actual dog shit or cut entirely from the team? Or maybe someone just said something that was so stupidly wrong that they deserved to be embarrassed? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you may be entitled to emotional compensation in the form of public retaliation. If you remember hearing a take on a Super Fantasy Football show that was so insanely wrong that it could only be described as freezing cold, then text John the title of the episode, a timestamp when the take happened, as well as a few sentences describing why the take is so freezing cold, and you may be able to get retribution in a future episode. Again, text John the title of the episode, a timestamp of when the take took place, and a brief description of why it is cold, and you may hear that frozen take in a future episode of a Super Fantasy Football show.